things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah! That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
It's been so cute because it's so deep now because that's just the place that he lays. So I'll like come in here and I won't even realize that he's in the beanbag until it's... I've been in here for a little while. Hi, bud.
Izzy.
Come on. We just want your love and attention. Why don't you want
that's
that?
All. I'm taking this rejection very painfully and personally.
That's the goal. Yeah. That's his only goal in life.
To hurt.
To hurt.
Cause
you.
Pain.
Yeah.
Was he a Scorpio?
Probably.
When is his birthday?
I actually don't know.
Come on.
Yeah. There we go. Yes. And we're going to go see what's going on over here.
Hmm.
What can I knock over?
So many glass things for me to cause mayhem with.
Uh-huh. Hey, bud. Come on. Anyway, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Hold on. Sorry.
Oh.
Let me
adjust.
Hello.
Welcome to Sunday Morning with Taylor and Jenny.
We're so glad you're here.
You're listening to A Little Bit Grim. It's a podcast. You found it.
We're glad that you did.
And you're
that you're listening. Don't leave us.
Don't ever leave us. We take rejection very hard.
Yes.
We do. We have abandonment issues, a very severe attachment styles.
A very severe.
We'll bring it up in therapy later.
Uh-huh.
But basically, you're here to stay.
Well,
we've claimed you.
Welcome to the cold. That'd be great if today was a cold episode.
It would be.
But it's not.
It's a true crime. It would be a crime for you to leave us.
Ah!
Izzy, stop bonking your head on my mic.
He said, Mama, you're not going to.
He says, I will not leave. I might, but maybe not right now.
No, I snuggle first.
What's new?
Not a whole lot. I don't know if I announced this before, but it is like now official for me to announce that I'm with Century 21 Bradley.
Yay!
For my brokerage, part of the Way Home team.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. This has been a long and arduous journey.
Yes.
Yes.
But you did so good.
Thank you. Yeah, it was hard. I passed the test on the first go, and that is like what I'm clinging to as my...
That is such a like monumental...
It's a little bit of a flex.
Achievement.
Yeah.
Not many people do.
No. I know quite a... Like the realtors I met have had to take
it
multiple times. So, but
it's... You're a smart cookie, dude.
I guess it's the Adderall. It's the Adderall.
Thank God.
Imagine what I could have done in college.
Finding out a little late, but that's okay.
That's okay.
Late we're
is better
now.
Than ever. Yeah, we made it.
Yes.
So we're here. We're medicated. We're good. I'm a realtor now. So if you live in the state of Indiana and you want to buy or sell a house,
contact Jenny.
Call me. Message me.
Yeah. And if you want to leave your house and go on vacation, contact me.
We have it. And if you're looking for something to do while you're at home, listen to the podcast.
Yeah. We have all of your needs covered.
Literally. What we need somebody to open a grocery store. And then
insurance. I think we need
insurance. Oh, we do need an insurance person.
Yeah.
So if anybody is licensed in insurance sales,
let us know.
Please reach out. So yeah, what's new with you?
Oh, not a whole lot. I went to a wedding last night.
Was it fun?
It was beautiful. Ashley and Wes.
Congrats, and Ashley and Wes.
It was gorgeous. Her dress was beautiful, like ball gown, long sleeve lace.
Ooh.
She looked gorgeous. The father of the bride like gave a speech that I literally was like crying, shaking.
Oh, I can't.
Oh my God. And he was the first speech to give. So
no.
Like the best man and the maid of honor had to follow him.
That's hard.
Oh my gosh. It was heart-wrenching. It was so good. It was so beautiful. But my poor heart was deeply struggling.
I've very quickly find my way to the bar when that section of the wedding reception is happening, like the father of the bride dance.
Oh, yeah.
And
see, normally I know that that's when I make my exit.
Yeah.
And they popped this out of nowhere.
Oh, no.
It was kind of a surprise.
No. Don't do that.
They shut the bar down during toasts.
No.
And closed the doors to the reception. So I was like, if
don't
I
trap
leave,
me in here,
like, I'm going to have to open this giant metal door and everybody's going to
look and see you leaving.
And that's like my worst fear is people to see that like I'm having a reaction to the father-daughter stuff.
Yeah.
So I just try very casually to like exit.
Yeah.
During when I know that that part is coming. I was not able to.
We did not make the great escape.
Untangle from that. But I was able to get out for the father-daughter dance, which I'm sure it was beautiful. I just can't do that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I also cannot do that.
Nope.
Nay.
We'll not be doing that.
Well, I'm lucky because my wedding doesn't get to, like, doesn't have to have any of those.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Yep. I can't remember who it was, but they were asking me, like, what I did for my wedding, and I was like, I just didn't do one.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
I'm not going to have a stand-in.
No.
Yeah.
My grandfather gave me away. That mm-hmm. was the perfect, like.
Step in
for that, and mm-hmm. I just was like, I don't need to do the rest.
No.
Of that.
Yeah. The only thing, my sisters are walking me down the aisle.
Oh, that's precious.
So. But other than that, yeah, we're not doing any of that. I told Ian, I was like, do you care if I wear a garter? And he was like, I don't give a fuck what you wear. He's like, you shouldn't wear anything.
Yeah.
Underneath. So, yeah, I was just talking to some family yesterday about that because they were asking. They're not coming. So mm-hmm. they were asking me, like, how. And I apologize also for my sniffling.
I will try to cut out as many as I can. But Jenny's a little sickly right now. So.
But didn't we just do this? I was just sick, like, 3 weeks ago.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
But. We're here. We're fine.
It's fine. It's whatever.
Yeah.
It just happens. I don't, like, since I quit smoking, I don't really get sick like I used to. Like, I used to get sick, like, every 3 months.
Yeah.
But I haven't been sick in a while.
Yeah. I got sick a couple of weeks ago, or I guess a couple of months ago, too, but that was...
It's like a flu-ster.
Yeah. About it.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Woo! Welcome!
Welcome! It's True Crime Week.
I love that. I have a pretty gross one
really?
For you. Yeah, but you are first up.
I
batter
am
up.
First. All right. So, this week, I am going to be telling you about the Craigslist killer.
Ew!
And he is just the worst.
Is he terrible?
I mean, he no killer is good.
I don't know.
I like
the women who killed their
attackers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I thought that this was going to be way different than it was.
Okay.
So my sources were an article by Nikki Swift, or on Nikki Swift by Gino Orlandini, and an All That's Interesting article by Kalina.
Sounds like a magician's name.
I know, Orlandini.
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 Gino Orlandini.
By Kalina Fraga, and a YouTube video by That Chapter.
Okay. I like that YouTube channel.
Yeah, I do too. I think he's hilarious.
Yeah, he is hilarious.
Little Irish man. So we're always told to be careful about what we put on the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you can't take back anything that you post. People are going to be able to find you if you put too much of your personal info out there. Your whole ass identity is at risk. Your financial accounts can be hacked. There's the whole nine yards, right?
Yeah.
The lists of perils associated with the internet go on and on. But one warning remains the same. Do not meet people you meet on the internet.
Yes.
Unfortunately for those in the sex work industry, the internet has become one of the best places to drum up a little extra business. And within a six-day span, three women had been attacked in hotel rooms across Boston in April of 2009.
Ooh.
2009 was the wild, wild west of the internet times. Things were up and moving for sure. We had it, but we didn't really know how it worked.
No.
So there weren't very many like security features, and people didn't understand how the internet actually tracked your activity.
Yeah.
In addition, you could advertise erotic services on sites like Craigslist, and there were no regulations on that. So
it was like Backpage. Yeah. Before Backpage was a thing.
Yeah. It was just, you could get on and get somebody to come to your house. Fairly easy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Trisha Loeffler was 29 years old and from Las Vegas. She came to Boston for some business and checked into her hotel room on April 9th, 2009. A few minutes after checking in, she posted on Craigslist as Valerie, and the advertisement read, "Good evening, gentlemen. Pictures are 100% real. Amazing things can happen when you have a great provider on your side. There is never any rush or games, just clean fun and pure pleasure. If you're looking for an unforgettable time with a sophisticated, beautiful woman, then you don't need to look any further. You'll enter a unique experience where everything but discreet sensuality will be left behind. I will fascinate you on all levels, offering in calls in a safe, discreet, and clean location." So that evening, she received a call from a gentleman willing to spend 200 buckaroos for an hour of her time.
Wow.
I know. He arrived just after 12 a.m., and once inside, he immediately held her at gunpoint and ziplocked her hands.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, ziplocked. Is that... No.
Zip-tied. Zip. He shoved her hands in bags.
It's like, wait. Zip-tied. Her hands. He took the $800 in cash that she had along with her credit cards and two pairs of her underwear. He was wearing gloves during most of the encounter, but he seemed to get really frazzled at one point, and he took off his gloves.
What?
To duct tape her mouth shut.
Oh. Like, just, I'm sorry, hold on. I have a visual image of, like, him trying to unroll the duct tape, but it keeps getting stuck to his gloves, and he just gets really pissed off.
I'm sure that's what happened, and yeah. He took his gloves off.
Yeah.
To duct tape her mouth.
Idiot.
Dummy. And he took her phone and erased his contact info out of it. Then he told her he was going to leave, wait 15 minutes, and then he would call security and have them rescue her.
Ooh.
And he made a lot of weird choices during the robbery, like not wearing a disguise, taking his gloves off, and taking souvenirs. When Trisha was released, she immediately reported the crime. So Trisha was able to take a look at the CCTV stills and identify the man who attacked her.
Mm.
He was tall, blonde, wearing a baseball cap and a black windbreaker. Unfortunately, that is all the information they had, and they would not get another break in the case for 3 days.
Whoa.
Moving on to Jalissa Brisman, was 25 years old and from New York. On April 13th, she was going to Boston for work. She was studying to be a substance abuse counselor. Aww. And to pay for her classes, she gave sexual massages as a side gig.
Oh.
As advertised, or Jalissa advertised her services on Craigslist under false names, sometimes either Morgan, Susie, or Rachel. And when she arrived in Boston, she asked a friend of hers to post to Craigslist for her with the following advertisement. "My girlfriend Morgan, the massage therapist, will be visiting Boston on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. She visits only once every 2 or 3 months, so don't miss her. The pics are recent, real, and attached to this message. She's visiting just these couple of days, and I highly recommend her. I do not give out contact number until you have provided yours. Kisses, XOXO, Morgan and Mary."
Hmm.
So Jalissa checked into the Marriott Copley Hotel. On April 14th, the girls received an email from a client asking if Morgan / Jalissa was available around 10 p.m.
Okay.
Mary asked Jalissa to text her before her client arrived and after he left. Unfortunately, it's the worst imaginable scenario where she never received the I'm okay text.
Ooh. Oh, God.
Yeah.
The panic.
The panic. The sheer panic.
Mm.
A woman named Jill Stern was also staying at the Marriott Copley Hotel that evening. Just after 10 p.m., she heard some kind of a struggle happening down the hall, followed by a scream. She opened her door and looked down the hallway to find Jalissa laying half in and half out of her hotel room. She had a zip tie hanging from her wrist, and she had been shot 3 times, and also was suffering from blunt force trauma to the head.
Wow.
They were able to get her to the hospital, but she succumbed to her injuries at 10:36 p.m. When the police began the investigation in Jalissa's room, they found 2 gunshots in the closet mirror. They also took a gander at the surveillance footage and saw a young man about 6 feet tall with blonde hair.
Mm.
They showed this footage to Trisha, and she was like, yep, absolutely, that's the dude, same guy.
Okay.
Jalissa's friend forwarded the email correspondence she had had with the suspect. Once they had that info, they were able to trace his IP address. This perpetrator was no professional. He made no attempt to hide his IP address, and even though he erased his number from the phones of the victims, the service providers still had all of that info. He even used his phone at both hotels, as seen in the CCTV footage, so they were able to triangulate that he was there.
Cool.
On April 16th, Cynthia Melton was settling in for the night in her hotel at the Holiday Inn Express in Warwick, Rhode Island. She was an exotic dancer, and she thought that she would make a little extra cash by posting an ad offering lap dances on Craigslist. Of course, we know exactly who responded to that advertisement. And at 10:51 p.m., Cynthia opened her hotel room thinking that she would welcome in a client and was instead faced with a gun.
Ooh.
As he was robbing her, Cynthia's phone rang. It was her husband who was supposed to receive text from Cynthia letting him know that everything was fine after her client arrived. So yeah. She was supposed to like sneak off to the bathroom and be like, hey, he's cool. I'm good. Give me 40 minutes or whatever.
Smart.
And that text never came.
Okay.
When she didn't answer the phone call, he burst into the room. And what I would love to say happened is that her husband beat the shit out of him and they were able to arrest him right then and there. No. Once he came into the room, saw a man holding a gun at his wife, this dude turned tail and ran.
What?
Out the door.
What a fucking piece. God.
He was like, bye!
Why bust into the room?
I don't know.
Why all the kerfuffle?
Right.
For you to run away.
He was like, bleh.
You didn't bring your own gun?
Panic.
Okay. We don't all have fantastic instincts. It's fine.
I guess. But at any rate, the suspect also decided to hightail it out of there, and Cynthia filed a police report. 2 days later, they got the break they were after when they were able to trace the email address to a man named Philip Markoff.
Philip.
So let me tell you a little bit about good old Philip.
Old Philly.
So Philip was 23 years old.
That's so young.
So young. In 2009. He graduated high school in 2004 from Vernon Verona Sherrill High School, where he was a member of the National Honor Society, the History Club, the Youth Corps, and the school bowling and golf teams.
What?
Yep.
Okay. Busy bee.
Yeah. After high school, Markoff attended SUNY Albany, where he was a pre-med student. He graduated from SUNY Albany in 2007 and applied for medical schools after taking the MCAT. He was a second-year medical student at Boston University School of Medicine at the time of the crimes. People describe him as kind, no trouble, smart, and driven, but everything was not as it seemed with Philip. He also had an intense gambling problem and had racked up about $130,000 in gambling debt.
Oh, my God.
I just don't think that you should be allowed to take out debt at casinos.
I don't think so. Well, is that what he – was he at a casino or was he betting on, like, races and
stuff?
Oh,
I don't know.
There's other ways to gamble.
I guess. That's fair. That's fair. So the police were keeping an eye on the apartment building where the email address was tracked to, waiting for Philip to appear. Finally, he emerged from the building with a beautiful young woman on his arm. The woman was his fiance, Megan McAllister, and they were scheduled to be married on August 14th, 2009.
Oof.
So, ooh, just a short couple of months away.
Okay.
On April 20th, he was arrested during a traffic stop just south of Boston. He and Megan were heading to the casino and had several thousand dollars of cash on them. Philip was arrested, accused of murder, armed robbery, and kidnapping, and he had no previous criminal records and denied all charges. Megan was in complete denial about the whole situation.
Sure.
She said that Philip was a beautiful soul, inside and out, and he would just never hurt a fly. She said that she would stand by him through this ordeal and that they would come out, and they would still be married come August.
Not a great judge of character, Megan.
Yeah. Things that don't age well.
Yeah.
So her statement says, I can only hope that the criminal justice system will not be overwhelmed and persuaded by what's being put forth in the media. My fiance's fate should not rest in the court of public opinion, but rather the court of law.
I mean, fair.
Yeah.
But
he fucking did it. So, yeah, this does not last long.
Yeah.
A few hours after she released this statement.
Oh.
The police found Trisha's cards, her underwear under his bed, and a gun stowed away. And get this, a hollowed out copy of Grey's Anatomy.
What?
The book.
Oh. What? Why was it? Okay. All right.
If it were a movie, and this is what the guy from that chapter said, he was like, if that were in a movie, you'd roll your eyes at how ridiculous that is.
Yes.
No, that's where they found it.
Amazing.
23-year-olds, man.
Yeah.
In addition to Trisha's belongings, they also found 16 pairs of women's underwear, 60 plastic zip ties, which make me think that there were probably more victims we don't know about.
Yeah.
The story took yet another twist when NBC News reported that Markoff also answered the Craigslist ad of a man seeking a transsexual hookup, and this included pictures of himself.
Oh.
The rendezvous never occurred, and the man contacted Boston police when he compared the news photos of Markoff to the shots on his computer.
Ooh, this is why you don't bang strangers from the internet.
Right. After the case against him was built, Megan visited Philip in jail and called off their wedding.
Smart.
Yep. One thing that still baffles people is motive. Why did this seemingly regular guy with an upward trajectory throw everything away for a few hundred dollars? Sex didn't seem to be a motive because none of the girls were sexually assaulted. They believe he killed Jalissa because she struggled. Murder wasn't even the goal. It was robbery.
Why?
Nobody can figure out why he did this. Like, $130,000 in gambling debt is not going to be paid off by robbing
sex girls workers
with between like $200 and $800 on them.
Right. Most of the time, they don't even carry cash.
Right.
For this reason.
Right. Just wild. So, other than that, the only other motive that they could find was money. During the investigation, they also found that Philip was leading kind of a double life of sorts.
No shit.
Yeah. They found that he was posting on Craigslist. He was actually doing the posting on Craigslist, advertising massages for male clients. Whether that's because he was wanting to explore his own sexuality or if he was luring them in to rob them, we don't know. He also posted on forums for sexual fantasies under the screen name Sex Addict 53885.
Okay. Got it.
After Philip was arrested, he made multiple suicide attempts. 3 days after the arrest, shoelace marks were found around his neck. Then he attempted again the day after Megan broke off their wedding. Ooh. And then on August 15th, 2010, one day and 1 year after they would have been married, he was successful in his own suicide attempt. He was found in his cell. He slashed major arteries, and as he was dying, he wrote out Megan on the walls of his jail cell.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Both of us.
Jail cell.
Okay. Woo!
That
was a lot.
And he also wrote Pocket in his own blood, and they believe that Pocket was the pet name they had for each other.
Pocket?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
But
Pocket?
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, I don't
like
know.
A pants pocket.
A pocket, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They also found photos of Megan strewn all about the cell as well.
Mm.
Markoff's death denied Julissa Brissman's family a long-awaited opportunity to confront him and hear the details of their loved one's final moments, said the attorney for Julissa's family. First, he took their daughter from them, and then he denied that opportunity for them. Many people who deal with homicide never get over it, but the criminal trial allows them to confront the suspect, hear the evidence, and reach some resolution in the case. The attorney said Markoff was determined to commit suicide, and he was somebody who had anatomical knowledge. He was a smart guy. I'm sure that he had plenty of time to think.
Ew.
And that is the story of the Craigslist killer.
That's awful.
Sorry.
Listen, this is going to sound fucking terrible, but I hate when they kill themselves.
Oh, absolutely. This is the worst. There's just no resolution.
Mm-mm.
When that happened with Ariel Castro, I was like furious.
Yeah.
Because that guy deserves to rot in jail.
Forever.
Forever. Until I would pay money for him to be given immortality just for, so him to he could live in jail forever.
That's the word. This is why I never understood the death penalty.
Right.
Because I would much rather watch them
wither away,
be forced to live out the rest of their days with terrible food, terrible circumstances. But see, this me, I'm vengeful.
Yeah.
So it,
you I'm know, petty.
I'm petty. Yeah. Gross.
Yeah. So.
Woo, Lord.
Thanks for listening.
You're so welcome. Okay. I'm so sorry because this takes place in Russia.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not so great with the words and the names of the things. What you, why are you pretzeled?
I put in my password again, my screen lock. Okay, there we go. All right, I just want to be able to make sure that I can see the lines move.
This is the professional level production that our listeners have grown accustomed to.
To enjoying.
To enjoying.
Listen. We're just doing so good.
The best. I will say we are doing the best that we can.
That is facts.
Biggest facts, no cap.
Big facts. No lies to be found.
No, none. Do you want to hear about Anatoly Moskvin?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to call him Moskvin. Because Anatoly, A-N-A-T-O-L-Y. Anatoly? Anatoly. Moskvin. I just call him Moskvin.
Anna.
Anna. Oh, Anna. Anna lived in Nizhny Novgorod, which is the fifth largest city in Russia.
Wow.
So there's your lesson for the day.
It's like, it's the fifth biggest dinosaur. You know when you talk to kids and they're like, what's your third favorite color?
Orange.
I love that an answer.
Well, Theo asks me.
Yeah. What's your fifth favorite dinosaur? What's your third favorite color?
What's your fifth favorite dinosaur?
Kids' questions are whack.
Theo has not gone through a dinosaur phase. And
weird.
I know. And we were like 4 to 7. Like, that is prime.
Dinosaur
age. And he is not about it. And I'm so upset because I have not outgrown my dinosaur stage.
We're ready for dinosaurs.
I'm ready for dinosaurs. I'm ready to talk about it. I'm ready to take him to, like, the Natural History Museum.
Yeah. No, my nephew is obsessed with dinosaurs, and he's 2.
See, maybe I missed it. Stepmom props. I don't think so. He's just not into them, really. He does not care. I try to get him into space. We just don't have a lot of common interests. Poor kid. We do really enjoy Mario Kart together.
That's good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who knew me and a 7-year-old child would not...
have anything
I'm like,
in common.
What do you mean you don't want to talk about tea?
There's like 17 different kinds of tea and you don't want to talk about any of them?
Do you want to talk about the difference between lemon balm and lemon grass? Okay. I actually don't know what the difference is.
Lemon balm is a mint leaf. Lemon grass is like a shoot.
Yeah.
Tall.
Look how educational.
Lemon balm is one of my favorite herbs.
I see. So. I'm more of a sweet grass kind of girl. I'm a grass gal.
Sure.
Okay. Anyway.
We're getting so dangled
so
today.
Freaking sidetracked. So he began wandering through cemeteries with friends as a schoolboy.
Wait, who?
Anna.
Oh!
Anna.
Oh,
We have not made it more than 2 sentences into this story.
No, I am so sorry.
You thought I was talking about Theo?
Identified Anna Natalie. As a girl.
Oh, no. No.
I'm so sorry.
And Anatoly Moskvin is a, he uses he, him pronouns.
Wonderful.
Great. He began wandering through cemeteries with friends when he was a schoolboy. In particular, they visited the Krasnaya Etna Cemetery, located in the Leninsky district of Nizhny Novgorod. And an article written shortly before his arrest... Spoiler alert, he gets arrested. This is a true crime episode.
Uh-huh. We like it when that happens.
We do like it when it happens. Moskvin attributed his interest in the dead to a childhood incident in which he witnessed a funeral procession for an 11-year-old girl.
Oh.
And he alleged that the participants forced him to kiss the dead girl's face, writing that, quote, "An adult pushed my face down to the waxy forehead of the girl who was in an embroidered cap. And there was nothing I could do but kiss her as ordered."
That's what my mom used to say.
Really?
Yeah, you're supposed to kiss them so you don't dream about them.
Oh, really?
It was my mom. Some kind of weird folklore she read somewhere. But yeah, she said you're supposed to kiss the dead so you don't dream about them.
Interesting. What happens if you dream about them? Yeah. I want to dream about them.
I know. I don't know.
Sorry, Joni.
Weird mom things.
Mom things. Just mom stuff. After graduating from a philological faculty of Moscow State University, Moskvin became very well known in academic circles.
Okay.
His main areas of academic interest were Celtic history and folklore, as well as languages and linguistics. And he had a deep interest in cemeteries, burial rituals, death, and the occult.
Okay.
He kept a personal library of over, and this is goals, 60,000 books and documents.
The dream.
As well as a large doll collection. Not the dream.
Doll
collection.
Oh, I thought you said dog. And no. I was like, no. I'm out on both of those things. Yeah. But
neither.
No.
I will take neither.
All right. Interesting.
Fellow academics and his peers and his academic circles called him both a genius and an eccentric. So he was like, you know, like your old weird college professor who had like rubber ducks on the walls or whatever. He was like one of those guys. So just too smart for his own good.
I will be forever picturing Professor Damian Fleming.
Who's that?
From PFW. He was my mythology professor and linguistics professor.
Oh, I love that.
He did not love me. But that's okay.
He did not love me.
He did not.
Unrequited love.
It's fine. That's okay. It was very one-sided.
We've obviously moved past it.
Yeah.
As an adult, he lived a very secluded life. He never married. He never dated. He preferred to live with his parents. And he abstained from drinking and smoking and was a virgin.
Okay.
So he just did not want anything.
He had no fun.
He had no fun. As a former lecturer in Celtic studies at the Nizhny Novgorod Linguistic University, Moskvin previously worked at the Institute of Foreign Languages as a philosopher, linguist, and polyglot who he spoke 13 languages. Genius.
Damn.
I know. He wrote several books, papers, translations, all well known and like peer reviewed in academic circles. He also worked as a journalist sometimes, and he regularly contributed to local newspapers and publications. He described himself as a necropolist. And he was an expert on local cemeteries in the region.
I would have loved him. I'm so sad you're going to tell me so many terrible things about him.
Yeah. But it's not, well, it's, no, it's bad. It's gross, but it's, you just have to, it's going to come out of nowhere.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm buckled in.
In 2005, Oleg Ryabov, a fellow academic publisher, commissioned Moskvin to summarize the list of the dead in more than 70 cemeteries in 40 regions of Nizhny Novgorod Oblast. Moskvin claimed that between 2005 and 2007, he had gone on foot to inspect 752 cemeteries across the region, walking up to 30 kilometers a day. During these travels, he would drink from puddles, spend night in haystacks and at abandoned farms, or slept in the cemeteries themselves.
Okay.
Even going so far as to spend a night in a coffin being prepared for a funeral one time. On his extensive travels, he was sometimes questioned by the police on the suspicion of vandalism and theft, but never arrested or detained after he stated his academic credentials and his purpose and like why he was there. So they're like, oh, okay, like, cool, as you were. The work, as of now, remains unpublished, but it has been described as unique and priceless by Alexey Yesin, who is an editor of Necrologies, which is a weekly paper that Moskvin, like, regularly contributed to.
Okay.
So, after his arrest, Yesin said that he was confident that there had been a mistake and that Moskvin would soon be exonerated. But later, Yesin told the Associated Press that Moskvin was a loner who had certain quirks, but absolutely gave no indication that he was up to anything unusual at all.
Ooh, sneaky.
Spooky. So on November 2nd, 2011, he was arrested by police who were investigating a little here and there of some grave desecrations that had been like popping up here and there.
Just a smattering.
Just a smattering. Just like a little, you know, vandalism.
One-two vandaloo.
So investigators from the Center of Combating Extremism discovered 26 bodies, initially reported as 29, in his apartment and garage.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck.
That's too many.
It's too many bodies.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of bodies.
Okay.
26.
26 dead-ass bodies.
Dead-ass bodies. Dead-ass bodies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Dead as a doornail. Great.
Woo! Them bodies is toast. So, video released by the police shows the bodies seated on shelves and sofas in small rooms full of books, papers, and general clutter.
He was posing them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just hang on. Okay. Girl, you just hang on. Okay. Although only 26 bodies were discovered in the home, Moskvin was suspected of desecrating as many as 150 graves. After police found numerous grave accoutrements, such as metal nameplates removed from headstones, police also discovered instructions for making the dolls, maps of cemeteries in the region, and a collection of photographs and videos depicting open graves and disinterred bodies, though none of this evidence could be conclusively connected to any of the bodies found in the apartment. Ooh. According to the investigation, the bodies primarily came from cemeteries in the region, though some may have come from as far away as Moscow. Moskvin actively cooperated with investigators and claimed he made the dolls over the course of 10 years. His parents, who were away for a large portion of the year, were unaware of his activities. He was charged under Article 244 for the desecration of graves and dead bodies, a charge which carried up to 5 years in prison.
Five?
Five. 5 years.
Five per person?
I could not tell you. It just, the charge. I don't know how many counts he was charged with.
Okay, all right.
But that's what he was charged with.
Wow.
He was also accused of having defaced the graves of Muslims, which was considered a hate crime, but prosecutors dropped that.
He's an equal opportunity.
Equal opportunity weirdo. After a psychiatric evaluation, it was determined that Moskvin suffered from a form of paranoid schizophrenia. And in a hearing in May of 2012, the Leninsky District Court deemed him unfit to stand trial and released him from criminal liability. He was instead sentenced to coercive medical measures. Prosecution was satisfied and did not appeal the verdict. So he was removed to a psychiatric clinic with his stay to be reviewed regularly. In February 2013, a hearing approved an extension of psychiatric treatment. It was extended again in April of 2014, again in July of 2015. And a spokesperson said that after 3 years of monitoring him in a psychiatric clinic, it is absolutely clear that Moskvin is not mentally fit for trial. He will therefore be kept for psychiatric treatment at the clinic. In September 2018, Moskvin's doctors stated that he was no longer dangerous and petitioned the court to release him for outpatient care from home. In February of 2019, a subsequent psychiatric evaluation found that it was too early to release him, and the hospital withdrew their petition. In an interview after his arrest, Moskvin stated that he felt great sympathy for the dead children and thought that they could be brought back to life by either science or black magic.
Sir.
Sir. Did you not read Frankenstein?
Yeah, no. It's not going to happen that way.
It's not going to happen. And even if it does happen, it's not going to happen the way that you want it to.
Right.
As an expert on Celtic culture, Moskvin learned that the ancient druids slept on graves in order to communicate with spirits of their dead. He also studied the culture of the peoples of Siberia, in particular the ancient Yakuts, and discovered that they had a similar practice for communicating with the dead. So he began searching for obituaries of recently deceased children. And when he found an obituary that spoke to him, he would sleep on the child's grave in order to determine if the spirit wished to be brought back to life. Moskvin claimed that he had been doing this for around 20 years and insisted that when he began, he never dug up a grave without the permission of the child within. So, like, whatever.
All right.
As he grew older, it became physically painful for him to sleep on the grave, so he began bringing the bodies home where it'd be more comfortable to sleep near them. He hoped the spirits would be more willing to speak in a safe, welcoming home and that they might be easier to hear when they were no longer underground. After exhuming the corpses, Moskvin researched mummification theories and techniques in an attempt to preserve the bodies. He dried the corpses using a combination of salt and baking soda, and then stored them in a dry, secure place in and around the cemeteries. Once the bodies dried, Moskvin carried them to his home where he used various methods to make the dolls, an attempt to give the children functional bodies to be used when he eventually discovered a way to bring them back to life. Feeling that their physical remains were too decayed or too ugly for them to feel comfortable or happy, Unable to prevent the bodies from withering and shrinking as they dried, he would wrap the limbs in strips of cloth and stuff the body cavity with rags and padding to provide fullness, sometimes adding wax masks decorated with nail polish over the faces before dressing them in, like, brightly colored clothing and wigs.
So gross.
It's super gross. These details made the bodies appear to be large homemade dolls, which is what prevented their discovery. So people would come and see them and thought that they were just dolls and not genuine dead bodies.
Can you imagine walking into that apartment and being like, well, this guy's fucking weird.
Yeah.
And like being like, this is a weird life-size dolls, man.
But like, you don't even know how weird it is.
And then years later, you're like, oh no.
Yikes.
Big oh no. That's horrible.
Yeah. It's yicky. Definitely yicky. It was unclear if each doll contained a full set of human remains. So, like, they were not. I mean, and now it is Russia, but they didn't, like, piece them back together and be like, oh, this leg belongs to this and that arm belongs to this. And so they don't know if he, like, Frankenstein them together or if it was just, like, the porch. Moskvin was aware, in an interview, he said that he was committing a crime but felt that the dead children were calling out to be rescued. And he believed that rescuing the children was more important than obeying the law. He was also motivated by his own desire to have children, specifically a daughter. Moskvin often regretted that he never had children and at one point attempted to adopt a young girl against the wishes of his parents, but his application was declined due to his low income. He denied any sexual attraction to the dolls and instead considered them to be his children. He spoke to and interacted with the bodies. He sang songs to them, watched cartoons with them, held birthday parties, and celebrated holidays for their benefit.
That's so sad.
And genuinely loved them.
That's like, so sad.
It is so, so sad. So he is still in psychiatric care to this day. And my sources. A article by Oleg Kashkin titled Scientist
Jail Sales.
Yep. Scientist made vault in his apartment.
Yep.
A article by Gazeta Rossiyskaya published in January of 2012. Anatoly Moskvin extended compulsory treatment in August of 2015. And that is the story of Anatoly Moskvin, who made dolls. And there are photos.
Excellent.
Amazing. So go check out the Instagram if you're a sicko.
If you're a weirdo like us.
And please do. Here, I'll show you them right now. Can you see? Yeah, it's horrifying.
Oh my gosh. Hold on. Let me
just get a quick goog. Get a quick old goog in there. It's just.
Oh no.
Yeah.
The stuff of nightmares.
Yeah.
This nuts. Is, I mean, it's like the girl that guy took. You told me about her.
Yes.
A couple months ago.
Yeah. It's just. Icky, you know? So enjoy that.
Oh, that. I
enjoy that.
Don't think that enjoy it is going to be a thing, but I will get very invested.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you have a bright and shiny for today?
I do have a bright and shiny. Or our bright and shiny is about to be the same. My bright and shiny is the Spell Canvas concert next Friday that we're going to.
I can't wait. When this comes out.
Oh, the day that this comes out, we'll be at the concert. Yay!
Oh my god, I can't wait. We're gonna have to come up with a plan, a time to leave here.
Oh yes, we are gonna
in the whole thing.
Yeah. Side note for us later.
Yeah, side note for us later. I have things I need to tell you though.
Okay.
Offline. Oh my god, I can't wait. I am so excited to just leave all of my emotional baggage on that floor.
Yeah, this floor here, and then we're gonna go find new floors.
Yeah.
Like, leave it here.
No, I was just going to take it with me, and I'm going to scream it all out.
Abandon it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
And just leave it there.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
That's what's going to happen. So yeah, my is also a spill.
Yeah, that was easy.
I can't wait.
I love it.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to coming back with a story about how you abandoned me.
No,
and
girl.
Let me walk around alone on the street of Indianapolis and I run into Nick. It happens every single time we go to a spill concert. Every single time, Taylor.
I will be so annoyingly with you this whole time. Like, do not go into that bathroom stall without me, girl.
No.
I'm coming.
That happened the first time I went to the bathroom.
I know.
When I met him.
Allie and I were out back. Like
by the band door.
By band door, trying to ask them to go if they wanted to go to Waffle House with us.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Alas, no.
No.
So.
Anyway.
Keep your earballs peeled for a story about that.
It's not going to happen. I can't let it happen again.
We'll see.
I will die of jealousy.
I love it. Anyway, what else? Follow us on the social meds.
Yeah.
If you have a spooky story, if you've ever met somebody who made human dolls. Or anybody who's ever posted on Craigslist, send it to us.
Send it to us. We want to know if you were ever a missed connection on Craigslist. I want to know about
Ooh, I love that. I used to read the shit out of those.
Oh, I did too. I got obsessive about it for a minute.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous.
Love that.
Ridiculous. you can, yeah, send us an email. You can leave us a review. You can follow us on all the social meds. And don't forget to be kind to yourself.
And to others.
Goodbye.